Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Filmmaker Marian Marzynski has been telling stories for more than a half century, but he still has stories to tell and audiences to reach. Marzynski is considered a pioneer in the documentary form known as cinema verite, and his latest film is one in a series in which he's mined his own experiences. The autobiographical film Never Forget to Lie is an exploration of his wartime childhood. Marzynski, who is Jewish, was hidden from Nazis by sympathetic Christians in his Polish homeland. The film airs tonight on Milwaukee Public TV as part of PBS's Frontline series. Marzynski was in Milwaukee recently for a screening of the film. He joined Bonnie North in the Lake Effect studio and talked about part of his narration in the movie, in which he declared that, quote, to survive, you must forget who you are.
Forget who you are in terms of revealing this to other people. Not in terms of forgetting who you were, because it is a game that you play. You are 5 years old. You don't know exactly what being a Jew means, but you know that for being a Jew, you can be killed, and then you go to another territory, a Christian side of town, where you're supposed to acquire a new religion. So in the sense, in the face of other people, you forget, but you remember whatever you can remember at this age, that you had mother and father, that they left you, that you were in the hand of strangers, that may be considered by other people a hero because they're taking care for you. But for you, a child, they're just terrible. You don't want to be with them. That's what the child knows. The child wants to be with the mom.
When you went to the Christian side, and you were 5 years old, you were torn from your parents. Did you ever look at the people who took you in gratefully at that time, or did it take becoming an adult to appreciate that?
I guess it's a complicated thing. I was always playful, and of course, in a sense, I was easy and uneasy. I was too playful. And I guess, as I can judge only from today, I was going from one stage of being excited, of being always in the new place, that kids like to do this. Kids like also pretend. But there's a limit to what it become a play. In one of my scenes, I say that I never play home. I was in different homes, but I play war, basically. So from the enjoying the changes in your life to realization that you don't have your mother and then you are longing for your mother, I guess I was a sad child. But at the same time, I had, you may say, an adventure of an adult in the early age, a stolen childhood.
How was it for you to make a film about your own experience in addition to other people's experiences? I mean, there are a lot of other people in the film who survived like you did, who were whisked away and turned into Christian children in order to survive the war. But you were also a subject of this film.
In a sense, filming other people was not very difficult because I know the subject, because I'm one of them. So this is my advantage as a director, to create more confidence and for them to feel more protected by me. So they were under my protection. I knew how to behave around them, what to ask them to say or not to say. But when I was alone with my own story, I didn't have any angel. And that is one of the most difficult things for a filmmaker, that by nature has to be in control, has to be cool, and being a subject at the same time on the other side of the lens, breaking down basically, and perhaps losing coherence sometimes, and also a strange feeling of the, for someone that's actually filming other people's lives, that I am going that deep into my own life. I wanted to do it. It was difficult. It's a mixed feeling.
Does it change how you approach filming other people now that you've had the experience of having to go that deep?
No, because I've been filming other people for 50 years. I know how to film other people, how to get the story. It was a very singular experience. that will not help me with other people, because as I told you before, it's a totally different parameters, totally different equation, being in the front of the camera or being on the other side of the camera. I did it, and I will not do it again, and I don't regret it, but it was tough.
I imagine it was. I can't imagine doing that myself, and I don't have this kind of experience to even talk about, but to be that personal, to be that revealed, you know?
You have to have a higher goal and a higher purpose for it. I mean, I grew up in a Catholic environment. I grew up in a place where the message was given, in a mystical place. I became a journalist because I didn't want to lie anymore. I wanted to go to the extreme of this. I want to tell the truth, the reality. This is why I'm in documentaries and not in feature film, because I have a very bad attitude toward make-it-believe story and generally pretending. And I have a sense for people who pretend. And this is why I'm a documentary filmmaker, because it's easy for me to make a difference between the truth and the pretending. But yeah. The higher purpose was that at the age of 76, having told the story to my own children and in some other films on the subject, I had an urge really to... We are cleaning the desk at that point, our desks, right? Everybody a different way. The idea is, what am I leaving, actually, when I will be gone? Not only to my children, which obviously are biased, and for that matter, for other Jews, for whom the Holocaust story is their territorial special story. It's a commemoration. It's the deeply emotional story, which basically going through the Jewish community. But how about the vast majority of the world who are not Jewish? How about the future theoretical perpetrators of another Holocaust? How about the young people that have to be aware that the things like happen in Boston may happen? What is from this my story that I should leave as my legacy after everything historically was told about Holocaust? But the child story and the casualty of the Holocaust in the form of an account of a man who overcame all this and is finally functioning, I think I wanted to be at one a warning against Holocaust and the upbeat message of resilience and the idea that if you want to survive, you should have a strength and you have a strength. And I thought this is a good message. This is exactly... instead of a will that I'm leaving.
Well, it is a form of a will.
It's a film will. I'm pursuing the humanization of the Jewish Holocaust. It's territorial to the Jews, but we need a universal notion of it, and universal warning, because in a sense, there is no difference. It's always the same thing. The others, one reader, cruelty, this unbelievable way what one man can do to another. And I think that the word that become global just needs to think of genocide and Holocaust and terrorism as a combined experience and a combined message, and whatever each of the group can give that could translate to other people's experience, it's most valuable. I told yesterday the audience in the movie theater that I once, after another film of mine, met a Korean couple in Chicago who saw my film about Polish Holocaust and who told me that for them the Germans were Japanese and the Jews were Koreans. And because it's a human story, when you watch it, you absorb the information, but more than anything, you realize that it's your own. Either your own history or it could be your own experience in the future. And that's what I think 70 years after the war, we should tell the story of this Holocaust and other genocides, try to make the message contemporary and the message that is portable in the hand of young people, that they can carry them into other circumstances that they may have experienced in life.
And also, and this is something that you mention in other things that I've read, that as you say, you're getting ready to clean the desk and we're going to lose these voices, that these are the last witnesses of this particular time, this particular moment of a Holocaust, even though Holocaust is universal, unfortunately, but that we need to witness these particular stories.
And I want to preserve those voices as an honest voices and not as a mediated voices. The problem with the Holocaust survivors is, as they are diminished numbers, their role is greater in being a spokespeople for the experience. And they actually, before knowing, turned into historians or sociologists because they have their own experience, but of course they're experts because there are so few of them. I told my participant in my film, I don't want the 95% of the thing about the subject that you can give me, that you're giving in schools to children, that you write in your own book, which is all fine. I want the core of your child experience, because I want the viewer to be that child and to experience that child. And it works. It works. Because through association with the child experience, being orphan, losing parents, you're getting a gentle way of learning about the events that happened that otherwise you may not know because the war aged. And like World War I is an old story, the World War II, for all practical purposes for young people, is an old story. There was enough more contemporary events that stick in their mind. We cannot expect that that will be remembering all the wars that were before.
And I think what also happens with the people in your film is that because they are experiencing it as children and showing us that, we get to feel it as opposed to just think about it intellectually?
Precisely. And that's what is in – this is a dilemma in documentaries. My type of documentary is the one that provides actually what every other film provides, which is basically emotion, identification, being there, leaving the place. I say, I remember this person. It sounds familiar to me. And then supply information from book and internet on other media. A film is too difficult and too complicated to just being reduced to information. So this is a Holocaust film for non-Jews, I like to call it, because I know that the Jews will come anyway with the territory. I don't have to fight for them because they are specialists. They are insiders. With every actually story that you tell on film or otherwise, you have a dilemma of insider and outsider. Somebody says that the best film about Milwaukee is one that people in Milwaukee may not recognize, but in Seattle they love it. The idea is that the outsider has the freshness of being affected. The insider comparing what he or she knows and say, where is this? Where is this? Where is this? Where is this? And so, but this film actually does not. I was afraid that the survivors or the Jews who know the subject very well will come to the screenings and they will be adding to the film their own story, which usually people do when the story is really based on information. To my amazement, they're not doing it. They may mention in a few words here and there, but basically they absorb the film. And that is a really big success, to have a Jewish viewer who saw 100 or 200 films about Holocaust and who knows everything and present this voice of a child whose memory is very, very fragile and open something new. It's a big satisfaction. So that's what we had yesterday at the Oriental Theater. We had I would say 2/3 of Jews and 1/3 of non-Jews and young people. And then the feeling was really great.
Well, I want to thank you so much for stopping by today. It is such a pleasure. Thank you for coming to Milwaukee. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Marian Marzynski's autobiographical documentary Never Forget to Lie airs tonight at 9 on MPTV as part of PBS's Frontline series. Marian Marzynski spoke with Bonnie North while he was in town for a screening of the movie in April. There is a link to more from wuwm.com/lake effect. Another filmmaker with roots in pre-war Europe is the subject of a new biography from a Milwaukee writer. That story is next on Lake Effect.